Good morning.
Good morning.
It's great to see all of you here today. Privileged to worship God, and privileged today also to honor our mothers. And in order to do so at this time and to honor God's Word, let us stand as we read from the Scriptures that many of our mothers have taught us. This text is taken from Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. I printed also for you in your bulletin. Or you follow in your Bibles. Hear the word of the Lord. My son, keep your father's commandment and forsake not your mother's teaching. Bind them on your heart always. Tie them around your neck. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. The word spoken and preserved for our benefit here today. Please receive it by faith. You may be seated. This is Mother's Day. Moms, happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a great one. Nobody make her do the dishes. You hear? And they will be done at the end of the day. Now, if you grew up in a family where your mother taught you the principles from the Scriptures, just quietly under your breath say, I'm a blessed person. And perhaps maybe you had a father who taught you the importance of the Scriptures. Say under your breath quietly, I am a blessed person. And for all of us here, any of us here, who have been taught the Scriptures from whoever, say under our breath here this morning, I am a blessed person. In fact, you can say that one out loud. I am a blessed person. We are blessed that somebody in our lives brought us the truths that God has spoken and preserved in writing for our benefit. And we especially honor our mothers who have taken on that responsibility and fulfilled it in the lives of many of us. Why introduce our family members to instruction from this book? Why would we do that? Why stay in touch ourselves with the principles that are written herein? Well, we live in a world, a broken world. In fact, I went down just a minute ago to get a little drink of water, because I knew there probably wouldn't be any under here, because I forget to put it there. But the first cup I tried and filled it with water, there's a hole. It just went right through the bottom. So I got another cup off, went to the restroom, and filled it up, tried to fill it with water. Another hole in that cup. And so I'm thinking, do I want to try for a third one? No, instead I just put my finger in the bottom, filled it up, and drank this way. It was quite an experience. But many of the times the experiences are much more challenging. We may have a sense that we're lost or that we are worried, vulnerable, and perhaps feel all alone. And yet we've got to face life, which is a privilege, but such a huge challenge at times, whether it's for an organization or as an individual. And so we need a little help. We need a lot of help. There's so many ideas and so much of a jungle around us. It's hard to find our way through. And yet there are people like Lois, who apparently taught her son Timothy. But apparently Lois didn't get her teaching from a vacuum. It just didn't drop out of heaven. But she learned from her mother, Eunice or Eunice. 2 Timothy 1:5. I'm reminded, says St. Paul to Timothy, I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. So the order there, I may not have got it perfect, but you got it right in the reading. Grandmother Lois passes it on to Eunice, and she passes it on to her son, which is our mission, isn't it? Isn't that what we're all about? Our vision for the church is to pass on our faith to the next generation. How do you do that? We just sang a great, powerful, eye-opening hymn that captured so well how many people have died for the very things that are in this book. They died because they knew there was life beyond death. And they knew there was something that was solid that we can stand on in a society which is quite, sometimes you feel like you're just moving on water and you can't get out because there's no solid place to stand. And you feel like I'm going to drown. It's interesting what Jesus said as some of the last words as he was leaving this world. He told his followers, he said, go make disciples, make followers of me. And then he told them something else. Teaching them all that I've commanded you. And some more words and said, surely I will be with you always. His task to his followers was that they would take the teachings that he had given them and to teach all the nations of the world something that he himself lived out, believed in, and perpetuated and expounded and actually became the living word. If you ever want to interpret the Bible and you're struggling with it, how to figure it out, go to the life of Christ and the words of Christ. He is the living word, and it doesn't get any more clear than it does as you examine his life and his understanding of the revelation that has been given to us and preserved for our own edification here in this generation. And for the coming generation, have all those babies, it's wonderful to have all those little children out there in the crying room, just there in that little narthex. It's a beautiful sight to see life. And we have so many kids now, and the nursery is full. Now we've got a onesies and twosies room. And we had to add on another part-time staff. And it's a great opportunity and yet an awesome task because those little ones clearly are so vulnerable. And as they get older, they're so mischievous, just like you were. Where, and many of us, we still are, we just have a better way of covering it up. But we're getting better at it by the grace of God, trying to adjust and move on with our lives. So we come to a text like this. It gives us a couple images here, a beautiful way of capturing in a very simple form how we're going to be safe and help the people around us, especially moms helping their children, how a mother and her child can be safe and feel at peace with life in a difficult world. And he gives us an image here in 21. It's actually one image and divided into two parts here. He talks about binding or tying something around your heart. This instruction is mentioned as a commandment in the first verse there. And then it's the father's commandment we're to listen to, and then it's the mother's instruction. And what are we to do with that? What's our response to be? And, of course, the greater assumption here is that this instruction is not just from a mom or dad. Of course, there's the general complicity and obedience and submission to parental authority, whether they believe or not, irrelevant. But yet the greater principle here is that they're passing on to us the mind of God and the teachings of God, the truths of God's understanding, and they've grasped, got a hold of them, and now they're trying to get them into you as you're coming into the world and figuring out life for yourself. And so we're given this image. We're to bind them on our hearts. Tie them around your neck. Now, people get pretty good at tying things. Little children, they move from Velcro to being able to tie shoelaces. But some of you, I noticed, are older. You're still wearing Velcro. I don't know what that's about. Maybe you're dyslexic or something and couldn't quite figure that out. Or maybe you're just in a hurry. Convenience. We all love convenience. And young girls, they learn to tie bows and put them around gifts and packages and give them away. It's a good thing. Some of them pretty bows. You take a little scissor and you go shh on the ribbon and shh, it curls up. And you got a nice bow with a ribbon, a little twirly, spurly thing there, whatever that is. Is that even a word? And then you got Boy Scouts, right? You know how to tie knots, square knots, slip knots, clove hitch, maybe a trucker's knot. I don't think a trucker's is required, but some of you probably learned that. And then you have young men learning to tie their ties. And it's interesting that some young men, as I've been in this church, they've come to me and they said, "Can you show me how to tie a tie?" Your dads apparently aren't passing that on too much in certain families. And well, I can do that half one, but everyone has like this other one. I said, "Well, that's a full Windsor." I said, "You got a half Windsor there. Those are easy. The full Windsor's a little more challenging." So, but we had good at tying things. But here, I ask you, are you good at this? The task here is to tie something around your heart. Instruction. Tie it around your heart. Great image, isn't it? Tie it around your neck. I suspect that's more like a pendant hanging, as opposed to a hangman's noose. It's, you know, you put it around, and it's right there. If you tie it around your heart, it's going to be right there. You tie it around your neck, there it is. And some of you may have lockets, and you can just look and say, there, oh, there's mom's picture. Probably your boyfriend's, but, or your girlfriend's. But it could be your mother, or your grandmother. It's a nice image for us to help us understand how to be at peace, to keep a sense of security and peace for ourselves and for others, especially our loved ones and children. We've got to tie something close to our hearts. You know, so I wrote a note out, sent an email out a while back and asked some of the moms, and I said, could you give me some ideas of some things that your mother helped to put in your heart? And maybe some things you've learned in life and passed them along. Well, I got a few responses back and a number. And some of your mothers said, my mom taught me to be patient. The importance of patience as God's patient with us. Another one said, never stop trying to love others, even though at times they can be quite annoying, like you and me. Another wrote back to me and said that she learned that wherever you walk, leave behind you a good reputation, a good family reputation. You don't want to embarrass your family. And, of course, we don't want to embarrass God himself, the family of God. And then a couple of you ladies learned some things or learning, and not sure if you got them from your mom, but you got them. And you passed them along in Proverbs 14:1. Says, a wise woman builds her home, but with her own hands, the foolish one tears it down, tears hers down. Are we building our homes, or are we tearing them down by what we, the choices we make? And then, this one I kind of summarized, came in a little late. when your life is hectic, feeling guilty, when you're overworked, when you're overwhelmed, you've been pulled in 1,000 directions by 1,000 voices. It's hard, but it's important to listen for the still, small voice of God speaking to your heart. And I suggest that might be a little bit easier if you have a whole lot of voices, little voices of God tied around there that you've been learning as you growing up in your family, maybe learned early on, and also lived out more and more. They're just so integral and part of you that when you get stuck or overwhelmed and everything else seems so important that and you hear these people, voices calling you to do this and do that, and you're confused, am I doing anything right at all? And then you calm down and listen. You hear something that maybe your mom told you 25 years ago. Or maybe it was a simple scripture, be still and know I'm God. I'm in control. Just chill out. It's going to be okay. Well, the instruction offered us here, it's not spelled out, but there is a context. I mean, the verses I isolated for us was so I could give a Mother's Day sermon. But in context following, it's about honoring marriage and purity, not to dishonor it with an impure life. But then above it, there are like six things the Lord hates, or seven, or what. But the instruction is don't be proud, don't twist the truth. I'm paraphrasing what comes before these verses. Be just, learn to be fair. Don't scheme to do somebody harm. Don't lie against some other person. Don't be a divisive person. These are the context, these are the concepts, the teaching that flows before and just after this proverb that's been given to us, these proverbs here. Well, also, as you look at the this from a literary point of view, or structural point of view, in verse 22, notice what it says. When you walk, that's the instruction you've received, that instruction, it will lead you. When you lie down, it will watch over you. When you wake, these teachings will talk with you. Notice the walking, lying down, and waking up. You got that part? It's a simple but interesting structure, but it helps it to hang on to the passage in a simple way. You see a similar structure in Psalm 1. Where God tells us basically the same thing as in these verses. And the first psalm says, blessed is the one who does not walk in the way of the wicked, or who does not stand in the counsel. I'm sorry, let me read it. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, who does not stand in the way of sinners, and who does not sit in the seat of scoffers. But instead, what? His delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in season, and its leaf doesn't wither. In all that he does, he prospers. Not so the wicked. Same concept, same idea that we have here. And we see it also in Deuteronomy 6, 4. Again, that imagery, 6, 7 actually. You shall teach, they're talking about the scriptures, the word God has given. I shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise. Now, the son or daughter here is seen walking, lying down, waking up, and seen implied in need. Sometimes maybe right now you feel lost. Sometimes we're vulnerable. We feel and sense our vulnerability. We're always vulnerable, but sometimes we just sense it more than others. And sometimes we sense that we're in this all by ourselves, alone. And so we see this verse unfold. When you walk, this instruction, it will lead you. You know, isn't it upsetting to be lost? To lose things? You lose your keys? Lose your wallet? Lose your glasses? That could be a problem this morning for me. It can be quite troubling. But if your person, if your being, your sense of who you are and what you're to do is lost, you need somebody to lead you. You understand? It's not a great feeling. You know, one therapist, Megan Bruno, I think, I don't know who she is, but she had some interesting things to say, insightful, I think. Talking about being lost, she says, why would a person feel lost? Well, this therapist says, it may be they've been isolating themselves. They're still grieving. They've actually lost someone, never got over it. So they feel lost without this person. Maybe they need a little more sleep. They're stressed out. They're overworked. You've lost your sense of purpose. You wake up in the morning and you don't have a to-do list with what you're going to do or why you're going to do it. If you don't have any sense of why you're doing anything, that's awful. We need to revisit that. Lack of exercise, a critical inner voice. People beat themselves down. God looks at us and He says, you know, if you're in Christ, you're a wonderful being. You have His perfect life record. That's yours. As if you kept every moral expectation that God had of you. As if you did it all yourself because you have His, you're wearing His garment. And so people beat themselves up because they aren't resting in the integrity of Christ. They're resting in their own integrity. And that, of course, that's going to lead you to repentance and hopefully renewed faith. Put your confidence in Him. He's our only sense of security. So you have these things and I definitely add here that sometimes we feel lost is because we basically are lost and we're disconnected from God. Lost spiritually, sometimes feel emotionally lost, which is what I've been talking about. But it's a disconnect from God. And when we feel that way, especially emotionally, we need to basically give thanks that we have a word close to us, a truth close to us that's going to lead us. Isn't that what he says here? What's going to happen in this text? That this truth bound around our heart, it's going to lead us out of this darkness. And then there's this sense of not only when you walk, these instructions will lead you, but that the word of truth will do something else. It says, bind them on your heart always, tie them around your neck when you walk. They will lead you. It's actually, it will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. Notice the imagery changes. Now you're lying down. You've been going around through life. Now it's bedtime. And for some of you, this is the hardest time of all. Others, you hit the bed and you're gone. But the rest of you are still trying to live your day or live tomorrow. And you, because you're laying there, you're inactive. And now you're really worrying because things are out of control because you're not there to fix it. You know that sense? Who's going to watch over the world now? Aren't we glad the Bible says God doesn't slumber nor sleep? Isn't that great? Let God lose sleep. Right? Let Him stay up all night. Because you have His promise, if it's around your heart, that He's going to watch over you when you're resting. But sometimes that's really hard. It's hard to do when you're off duty. The whole company is going to fall apart. You know, perhaps when the Proverbs was written, this section was written, maybe the writer had in mind that what's going to happen is we're going to be recalling the promises of God that are right there. You're lying there, you're off duty, and then your heart recalls something that your mom or someone, maybe your own personal reading, has put in your heart. And you remember some truth from the past. In fact, some days it's just good to lay there and remember earlier in the day that maybe you sang to your child, "Jesus loves me, this I know." And now it actually speaks to you. You say, "I'm good to go here. Go to bed. I'm gonna." And your next thing you know, it's morning. Your head's, you've gone to sleep because your heart took comfort. Or maybe your heart recalls when you're the words that your mom or dad or a friend introduced you to in Isaiah 43. I love this verse. "Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine." Wow, isn't that powerful? You are mine. You think, as a parent, if you're a parent, you do a great job, and sometimes we worry we're not doing a wonderful job. You know what? You're not parenting yourself. God, if you know Jesus Christ, He's your parent. You belong to Him, and He knows how to act as a good mom or a good dad. Most of the images in the Bible are male, but there are some female images there for God. But He knows that you belong to Him. He knows your name, and He's willing to die for us. "I've redeemed you." He gives His life for you. Surely He's going to watch over you while you're there sleeping instead of acting like we sometimes do. Get out of hand. We can't do too much wrong except in our mind when we're lying in bed. And then thirdly, the image changes again. Now, instead of lying down, instead of walking around, lying down, now we're waking up, right? Verse 22, "When you wake up, they," the words of truth, "they will talk with you." Some days you wake up, you just want to pull the cover over your head, right? I do. But Eddie Arnold, remember the song? Some of you my age, "Make the World Go Away." Right? "Get it off of my shoulder." You're out of a job. You're waiting on that report come back, that blood work or that thing, those photos they took, the CAT scan, or you're afraid they're going to find, or maybe they found the mass, and you're just waiting for the report. And you don't want to face it. And maybe some of you are living alone. You know, if you're a single parent, if you're an only child, for example, or if you're alone in your workplace, maybe you're in a new place or feeling alone in a problem. It's hard to wake up if you feel like I'm the only one that has a brain and my brain's not even working too well. You hear? You need a companion. And that's what we have. Isn't that what we have promised here? That you'll have a companion when you wake up. There's going to be God, through the instruction that He's given to us, it's going to talk to us. It's going to speak to us. We don't have to invent solutions on our own. You know, it's still true, it rings true from Ecclesiastes 4:9. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if one falls down, the other can help them up. But woe to the one who is alone when he falls, there is no one to lend a helping hand. You have a helping hand. That hand is right there, wrapped around your heart, hanging from your neck. It's the truths that you've been receiving, some of you a whole lifetime, some of you more recently. Some of you haven't quite connected with the truth. haven't bound it to yourself because you're not sure about it. I'd be glad to talk to you about that. Because the more I live, the more I realize this is solid ground. And there are a lot of things I don't know what's in here. But the more I know and figure out, the more I know, convinced that it's even more solid than I ever thought in the past. And so some mornings I wake up, I want to pull the covers over my head, but maybe Lamentations 3 comes to my mind. Because of the Lord's great love, we're not consumed. For His compassions, they never fail. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. We can wake up and face today because new compassion is going to come for a guy who's still struggling, or a girl, and God's going to give me sympathy today. Well, let me leave you with this image shared by writer Hope Edelman. Hope Edelman describes a mother's love, and this is what she says. She writes, Nature offers often metaphors more elegant than any that we can manufacture. In the great redwood ecosystem, all seeds are contained in pods, tough brown clumps that grow where the mother's tree trunk and root system meet. When the mother tree is logged, blown over, or destroyed by fire, the trauma stimulates these clumps. They're called burls. It stimulates the burl's growth hormones, and the seeds release, and the trees sprout around her, creating a circle of daughters. The daughter trees grow by absorbing the sunlight their mother transfers to them when she dies. And they get the moisture and nutrients they need from their mother's root system, which remains intact even after her leaves die. And although the daughters exist independently of their mother above the ground, they continue to draw sustenance from her underneath. Beautiful imagery. Edelman writes, I am fooling only myself when I say my mother exists now only in the photograph on my bulletin board, or in the outline of my hands, or in the armful of memories I still hold tight. She lives on beneath everything I do. Her presence influenced who I was, and her absence influences who I am. Our lives are shaped as much by those who leave us as they are by those who stay. Loss is our legacy. Insight is our gift. That's the things wrapped around your heart. And memory is our guide. And may I add, oh, how we need a memory. We need to remember the instruction, the beautiful truths that moms and our friend or dad and others that maybe we ourselves have wrapped around our hearts. And thank God, especially for moms who've put them there and for wise people who've instructed us like mothers. And no doubt, I believe the greatest instruction of all that we can tie around our hearts is the incredible love that God has given us through Jesus Christ. When He nailed Him to the cross, there's no greater love than this, and He laid down His life for us. And He alone is our peace. He alone is your security. And all the instruction found in this book leads us to rest our heads upon Him and the truths that He has given us. So I ask, how does a mother or child find peace? How can we find a place, as the hymn says, that's safe and secure from all alarm? Put the truth of Christ into our hearts, and may we keep holding on to it. till the end. Our Father, we bow before you. We thank you for the truths of Scripture, the truths of Christ that have been placed in many of our hearts. May we keep holding on to them until we see beyond the peace that we can have here, we can see the Prince of Peace himself, who has put everything well for us who believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.